Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Heights Educational Group Talk Show. My name is Kaden Behan, and I'm a volunteer for New Heights Educational Group. Today, we're going to be talking about special needs and the education that goes along with child with special needs. First off, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Maggie Spangler.
Hello.
And she's going to help us today with describing her experience with education for her children, and also talking about, you know, the different experiences she's had homeschooling with her children and in public school as well. So to start off, we're going to talk about just some different special needs situations or conditions that children can have, just a brief overview of some that you may already know and some that you may not be so familiar with. We have autism, which is very common nowadays. There's been a lot of movements to fund research for autism and a lot of development in the education and condition, the treatment of autism. So autism is a spectrum disorder. It includes autistic disorder, Asperger's syndrome, persuasive developmental disorder, that's not otherwise specified, which means that autism is not always so easy to diagnose. And so there's a lot of symptoms and inclusions in that diagnosis of autism, since researchers are not as familiar with what causes it at the moment. Signs and symptoms, though, do include communication issues, verbal and nonverbal. Pointing, eye contact, and smiling are sometimes inhibited. In certain cases, the reaction between children with autism and their parents or with others around them do not match that of a normal or a regular child. Social relationships also sometimes can be impaired by autism. Depends on the extremeness of the condition. There are different types and different different extremes. But in most cases, there is a little bit of difficulty in interacting with others, emotionally sharing with others and understanding others and holding an appropriate conversation. Routines or repetitive behaviors are also common with this syndrome. Repeating words or actions, obsessively following routines or schedules and playing in repetitive ways. High-risk groups include boys, siblings of those with autism, and people with other developmental disorders, such as Fragile X syndrome. There are many options that have been developed, especially since autism is becoming so prevalent nowadays in the U.S. Different therapeutic options include behavior management therapists that help to reinforce wanted behaviors and reduce unwanted behaviors, and this can include social interactions, working on social interactions with others, learning appropriate responses in conversations, and normal interactions with others. Also, there are speech-language therapists that help with the communication aspect as well in building social relationships. Occupational therapists help to find ways to adjust to daily tasks or to match the needs and abilities of the autistic child, so to work on the repetitive nature and routine-based to allow for a more flexible schedule, to allow the child to be more comfortable with having schedule changes, and also physical therapists that design activities and exercises to build motor control and improve posture balance. So now let's turn our attention to ADHD. many people know this, has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's very common in about 3 to 5% of American children. It interferes with abilities of children to focus and stay on task with certain activities. Signs and symptoms include failure to listen to instructions, inability to organize oneself in schoolwork, fidgeting with hands and feet, talking very much, and leaving projects or other tasks unfinished in the process. Also, there's issues sometimes with paying attention and responding to details. It's usually diagnosed in young children or in childhood, but can also continue into adulthood. There's no exact cure, but there have been some medical options such as Ritalin or Dexedrine that help to decrease impulsivity and hyperactivity. Other treatment or therapy is to have a structured classroom management, parental education on the signs and symptoms and helping the child to concentrate better, and tutoring or behavioral therapy for the child. Another disorder that we have is bipolar disorder. This is a more serious mental illness. It can run in families and starts usually in adolescence or early adulthood. Signs and symptoms include dramatic mood swings. It's known as mania and depression. Mania is when you feel very, very happy for a short period of time, followed by a down feeling or depression, manic depression, and also can have normal moods in between. The only treatments that have shown to be relatively effective is medicine, talk therapy, medical checkups, therapists to help the patient deal with their swinging moods, because it can be very detrimental to their self-worth, their relationships, and their jobs or school performance, and their home life. So now here with us we have Maggie, as I introduced, and she's going to talk more on these conditions and the specificity that goes along with giving an education to these children. And so, Maggie, would you like to take the lead?
Sure. My second daughter, Catherine, is she had a lot of seizures when she was younger, and we did not realize that she had learning issues until she was about three. Her first seizure was when she was a little older, a little over a year old. And when she was about three, I kind of had a feeling that we had some problems going on, but I wasn't quite sure because she still wasn't speaking and still couldn't talk right. She tried, you know, what she wanted to say, but it wasn't coming out right. And she would get frustrated. I would get frustrated. So it was a very long journey, if I want to phrase it that way, because I took her to like a preschool that specialized in children with disabilities. And they tested her, they worked with her, physical therapy and occupational therapy, speech therapy, and she was there for 3 years. And then she went to kindergarten at our public school, and I worked with the teacher there. She got a speech therapist to work with, and I told him exactly, okay, this is what we're dealing with, this is what we're having issues with, this is what she's still struggling with. And halfway through the year, the teacher pretty much was telling me the exact same thing I had told her at the beginning of the year. And the speech therapist was getting frustrated because she didn't quite know what to do with her. So I took her out of the school system, and I started homeschooling her along with my other daughter. And then I proceeded to take her from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor to try and figure out what exactly it was we were dealing with. I had her tested for autism. They said she didn't have that. They said she didn't have the Asperger's either, but they did label her as the pervasive developmental disorder because they didn't quite know how to label it.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, I'm going blank on some of the things, but she would have like a learning delay or an expressive receptive disorder, meaning she would have trouble taking in everything around her. Sometimes it was too much, overstimulating. She didn't know how to process all of it because it was too much. Other times when she, like with the eye contact, when you would talk to her or she would be listening to people talking around her, to someone who didn't know, they would look at her and they would think she was staring at them. And to some people, that can be offensive. But she wasn't being rude and staring. She was trying to process what she was seeing and hearing. And it was taking much longer than it would you or I.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was taking longer, she would just continue to watch and look at you until she was able to figure it out. And also, we had, what's another one? Sometimes she would just, touch. She loved. She had sensory issues, too, where she would hear certain things or smell certain things that you and I wouldn't mm-hmm. pick up on, and they would sometimes drive her nuts. She loved touching people, loved giving hugs, loved touching different textures. And she, there for a little while when she was little, loved putting certain small objects in her mouth because of the feeling of having them in her mouth, which when they're little can be extremely panicky for a parent because you're always scared they're going to swallow it. Mm-hmm. And she also took some, there was a place in Toledo that I took her to that gave her, that diagnosed her with the sensory problems. And then I was able to take her to speech and occupational therapy and say, this is what she's also been diagnosed with. Can you work this also into your program and make sure she can get these needs met? Because we got her a bouncy ball because she loved the sensation of bouncing up and down. It released this energy inside of her that mm-hmm. would sometimes make it very, very hard for her to focus and listen and learn. I also found out that because of these seizures, one of the type of seizures that she was having was they're called petite malls or staring spell seizures, where the person will just stop. It's like they freeze. They don't move. They don't blink. They don't talk. They're not completely non-responsive. They still breathe, but in every other aspect, they don't move. And I actually saw her have some of these in front of me a couple of times, and it's blank in the eyes. It's like there's nobody home. And for those few seconds when they're frozen and they're not moving, when they're in the middle of one of these, nobody is home. it's like somebody hit the pause button and everything stopped. Then they'll blink and come out of it, and they pick right up where they left off, and they have no clue that they've just had a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, I don't even know how many of these she had. She had so many of them between 1-year-old and 6. And what this did, cumulative altogether, gave her pretty much a year and a half to 2-year learning delay. Because she had so many of those, she missed out on some very important moments of learning. And when put all together, it put her that far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also one of the other things that we discovered with her, and not every child will have this issue. Exactly how many children out there, people, even adults, have this problem, I don't know. But I know with her, because of her seizures, it messed up the way her brain worked. You have a right brain and a left brain,
mm-hmm.
which operates either the right side of the body or the left side of the body. And it's switched. And your right brain shares information with your left brain. And they're supposed to actually work together as one. And seamlessly streaming information back and forth between the two. That's pretty much how a perfect brain should work. Well, in her case, her brain would either be left brain or mm-hmm. right brain. They never worked together at the same time. And for years, it was such a struggle in the beginning when I was homeschooling her, because I was hardly getting anywhere. It took us 2 years just to do kindergarten. And you would have to constantly review. And it was so difficult for her to learn, because whatever she learned, if she was left-brained at the time, later in the day, if whatever triggered her brain, she would become right-brained, she would forget. Or one day she'd be left-brained, the next day she'd be right-brained. And whatever she learned when she was left-brained, she wouldn't remember when she was right-brained, because her two halves of the brain weren't sharing information.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it extremely difficult for her to learn. Now, there are exercises out there called brain gym exercises that a child or adult can do that forces your right brain and your left brain to work together. And I pretty much had her do these types of exercises every morning as part of her morning routine, and we did that for probably about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And it took her quite a while. Now, today she's 14. We still continue the speech therapy. We still continue the occupational therapy. She has come a long way. When she was 8 or 9 years old? Yeah, she was 8 or 9 years old, and she still could not read, write. She couldn't do any math. She couldn't add or subtract, let alone multiplication or division. She couldn't write letters. I mean, she couldn't even write the letters of the alphabet. She would look at them, she could copy them. But to get her to say, okay, A, and then write it down without looking at anything, she couldn't do that, let alone put her thoughts into sentence structure and write it down. And now, 6 years later, at the age of 14, she's able to do all that, and she's at sixth grade, and she's doing all of that, yes, she should be roughly a freshman in high school right now, but she's doing sixth grade level work, and compared to where she was just 6 years ago, that's a miracle in itself. The only thing I can say is for other parents that are out there that have children with any form of learning disability, their child, their, how should I phrase this? Your child is special. Every child is special. But when you are dealing with a child that has special needs, they are special, not because they're different, not normal. They're special because they bring a type of joy to your life that you don't normally get. Yes, it's rough. Yes, it's hard, but you have to be able to think outside the box. Don't take no for an answer from a doctor. If a doctor thinks, be your child's advocate, because if you don't stand up for your child and say, okay, this didn't work, so let's find something else, or, okay, I didn't quite agree with what that doctor was saying, so let's research. Let's see if I can find somebody else, see what they say, and find a way that that child learns. And if you personally can't do it, then try and find someone that can help you and just be persistent. Because it will take a while, but in the end, you will reap many benefits.
Okay.
How much time do we have left, Caden? I'm not in front of a clock right now.
We have about 7 minutes, so you're all right.
Okay. Do we have any callers?
We don't at the moment, no.
Okay.
But I believe we do have listeners.
Okay. Now, in regards to Asperger's, I don't have any children. None of my children have Asperger's, but I do have a nephew. And for the last 4 years, he has come and spent a week with us every summer. And he's my daughter, Catherine, the one that has the disabilities and had all the seizures. They're just a few months apart. And I've learned a lot by having him come over and spend the summers with us over the last 4 years. And it's very interesting. He's come a long way, too, just in the last couple of years. But I noticed with Asperger's, they, for whatever reason, are very, when they go out in a vehicle, or you are driving somewhere, they're constantly preoccupied with what time is it? What time do we got to be there? Are we going to get there on time? How much time do we have left to get there? And then, or how fast are you driving? And sometimes that can get annoying, but a lot of times they can't help it. And there are certain things that they will fixate on. Another one with my nephew is he loves quoting the Bible. So he actually walks around and acts like he's marching, and he'll be quoting all these verses. And there are times where that can be somewhat interruptive or rude, especially if you are trying to have a conversation with somebody else. But hey, if that's what he's fixating on, then by all means, have at it. I mean, there's a lot of other things out there a lot worse than Bible verses. But he also, in the beginning, certain people, he just did not like. For whatever reason, I have no idea, he just wouldn't want to be around them. And he would start to get agitated. He would, like, walk in circles, or he would rub his fingers or rub his arms, or he would just fidget like someone being agitated. And he just wouldn't know how to communicate tell what it is that was wrong or how to handle the situation. I know a lot of children or people with Asperger's, they like routine. They like same familiar surroundings, structure, and same structure every day, routine. I know when he would come here, for the first year, that was a trial, but we've kind of gotten into somewhat of a routine. And one of the neat things when he comes here is he gets to try things that he normally doesn't do at home. One of the things I always try and do with him is I don't treat him different. I treat him just like the rest of my kids, and they don't treat him different, and they get along awesome, have a great time, and he's willing to try anything. He's a perfectionist. I think that's another B part of Asperger's, and if he doesn't get things perfect or if he gets overloaded, I call them little mini meltdowns. He will just, it just becomes too much, and he'll just start crying or become upset at himself and just wringing his hands, fidgeting, walking around uncontrollably. I mean, he just can't control it. And those are like little breakdowns where he's unable to function normally. And trying to get him to calm down and talk to him. So if you talk to him and try and work him through it, and eventually he calms down, and then he's able to discuss it with you and what happened, and then you just keep him talking, and he's a few months later, he's fine. Maybe that might not work for every child that has Asperger's. I guess you just got to find what works. And I know he does therapy too, like speech and occupational, and so it takes some time, but it is doable. And I know here at New Heights, we try, and anyone who does have children with disabilities and who needs help trying to find where to take your child for therapy, or what type of therapies are out there, or where to even get them tested to see what learning disabilities they may have, we are willing to work with you, help you find what's out there that's available, where to go. I mean, that's why we're here, to help anyone who needs help in the area of education.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Maggie, for sharing. It really, I think, helps a lot of people who have had this experience, different experience in relation to this difficulty of trying to raise your child and have communication barriers and be frustrated, but also to be able to see, feel rewarded when you are able to through and to feel like you've accomplished, something great. And definitely going to continue this topic because it's such a big topic on our next show. But really, I just wanted to thank you so much while Pamela's gone for being the co-host and speaking about your experience. And I hope that it's reached the listeners, and I hope that, anyone who's struggling can take from your experience and apply it and, maintain that hope and stay strong in order to be able to communicate and teach their children.
I hope so, too. I hope that I was able to at least encourage some people that are listening, and that's pretty much all I can help for, and I do hope for that, because you do need encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Awesome. Well, we hope to have you back next time, maybe when Pamela's here, and thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you in the next show.
All right. Thank you, Caden.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too.